10 minutes ago.
Okay, today's learning should be an initial speech on Lizab Shem Shari, Meshim and Daniel, Rifka Bas Meshim Israel, Shem 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 And it's chus for all those in and around Eretz Yisrael. So we are holding Siman Reish Nun Gimel, and as I promised, we are starting a new topic today. And I'm going to try my best over here, but this topic requires a little bit of an introduction before we can get into it. So let's jump in, and then we are hopefully going to get started. If not, we will, Amit Hashem, continue after Yom Kippur. So the last thing we learned was this idea that you can start a malacha on Erev Shabbos, and that malacha continues into Shabbos, and that's okay. So technically, when it comes to cooking, we would be able to start something cooking before Shabbos, leave it on the fire, and let it continue cooking into Shabbos, and that should be, based on everything that we learned till now, that should be really fine. Now, the Chachamim had a problem with that. Now, why did they have, and that's the topic we're going to discuss, is leaving things on the fire, called Shia, leaving things on the fire. And Chazara, if something was on the fire when Shabbos came in, and I take it off the fire, putting it back on the fire, that's Chazara. That's what we're going to be discussing. Now, that's why this topic leads into what we learned previously, because it's the idea of starting something before Shabbos and continuing into Shabbos. Now, like I said, everything that we learned till now, really, we would say that shouldn't be a problem. We said you're allowed to start things before Shabbos, continue into Shabbos. So why did that become an issue? So the starting point we have to understand is how do they used to cook, which is different than we cook today. They used to cook back then was essentially a fire that was not a gas fire. It was burning something, wood, we'll see other things, straw, animal waste. There was other things that they used to burn, and that would create coals, and the coals would heat the pot. Now, there were different ways that was done. It could be done just, you have coals sitting on the floor and you put your pot on it. You have coals sitting on the floor and you put a metal grate over it and you put your pot on that metal grate. It could be you sort of have a cement-like or stone-like chamber built and you put the pot in that chamber. That would be similar to an oven we have today. You can have this cement-like chamber that has a hole on top, and you put the pot on top of it. So that's how cooking happened in those days. Now, the Chachamim were concerned that if I allow you to put this pot on the fire, there was a concern of Shema Yechata. You might go ahead and stoke the coals, because how did you raise and lower the fire then? It was not, we didn't have a knob on the fire, but you raised and lowered the fire was through either smothering the coals, you put sand or dirt over the coals that would lower the heat. Or if you wanted to raise the heat, you would sort of stoke the fire. You would take those coals and dig them up. That would be an issa of Havara, of creating a fire on Shabbos, making a fire larger, falls under the issa of Havara. So the Chachamim were concerned about you potentially doing Shema Yechata on Shabbos. And that's what we're going to go through in this siman, is where were they concerned? Where were they not concerned? When they're concerned, what are the eitzes of how you can not run into that problem, and therefore you would be able to leave the pot on the fire. So that is the concern, and that's why they said that under certain circumstances, you cannot leave a pot on the fire, because unless you do something that will make sure we don't run into this Shema Yechata problem, not because there's an Isser of leaving something on that's going to cook on Shabbos. Everything we learned till now, you can start a malacha before Shabbos and continues in Shabbos, is not a problem. The concern was that it might bring you to a Shema Yechata to be over an Isser Deraisa, and that's why they made certain takanas of what you're not allowed to do. Now, the main takanas, as we'll see, we'll read a little bit of an akdama in the Mishnah Berurah. The main takana is what we've all learned in the Gemara, is garef v'katam. Garef means that you basically remove the coals. So there's still the residual heat that will heat the pot, but you know that's garef, you remove the coals. So there's no more concern that you might be shema yechata. And the other idea is katam, which is you take sand and you cover up the coals. And that would not only be an indication that you don't have an intention of stoking the fire and digging up the coals, but it would also serve as a reminder on Shabbos, oh, wait, it's katam, there's a reason that is, and therefore I won't do it. We'll see the different scenarios as to when it's a problem. When are we concerned about shemachikata, and therefore would only be allowed if you do garvikatam. And when it's not a problem, and therefore it would be okay. Now, just re so that's the general idea. Now, obviously, some of this will apply bezmanazeh. Some of it will not apply bezmanazeh because the metzias of what we do is a little bit different. Sometimes for better, and sometimes for worse. Now, just to briefly touch upon bezmanazeh, so the idea of a blech on the fire is the katam. You're covering over the fire. So just because some people cover the knobs, some people cover the fire and the knobs, the ikar is covering the fire. Others say that you should also cover the knobs, but just so people don't make a mistake, covering the knobs themselves is not enough. The gzeira was covering the fire. So you have to cover the fire. And just as a side point is, and the Rav mentioned this a while back, but it's brought down over here too. When you put your blech on Shabbos, you should set the fire first and then put the blech on, not put the blech on and then look under it and see how high you want the fire. Because the whole idea of covering it is now I won't adjust the fire anymore. But if you cover the fire and then you adjust the fire, you sort of show that that's not really effective, that you shouldn't be adjusting the fire. So Stam, as a side point, we should cover the fire, and we should adjust the fire and then cover it. But let's go back. Bizmanazeh, the accepted minig is, and the accepted halacha is, that for the most part, we do not leave things directly on the fire, meaning no blech at all. Right? We'll discuss what happens if we did, if we forgot, the Shas HaTchag, if we had no other choice. But Bederech Klal, we don't leave anything on the fire. Bederech Klal, we only leave things on the fire. If we have a blech, the fire is covered, which that makes it a lot easier to be able to leave things on the fire. But Bederech Klal, we do not leave anything on the fire directly unless we have a blech. The main reason is because, as we'll see as we're going through this, there's a lot of different shittas and there's a lot of nuances over here. The nuances are, how do we, what is considered a scenario that I don't have to have garfikatam, and therefore the equivalent would be me leaving it on the fire the same way now without garfikatam, and what is the cases that you do need garfikatam, and sometimes the difference is very, very, very narrow and very fine, and therefore we, as a rule, we don't take any chances with that, and we will only leave pots on the fire if there's garfikatam, which meaning in our language is that there's a blech on the fire. Jack, you have your hand up. I'm not sure if you that's intentional.
No, it was. Thank you. I thought, or I think, that if something is on a blech, it shouldn't go directly on the fire either, over the spot where the fire is. It should be a little off to the side. Is that
So
accurate?
that's going to be a separate discussion. I don't even think we're going to cover that much in this seven. That's going to be the separate discussion. That is has more to do with when you're putting something on the blech, where you can put it versus leaving something on the blech. When you're leaving something on the blech before Shabbos, you leave your soup on the blech, your soup can be left directly on the fire. There's a question that comes in that if you want to take something out of the pot, or if you want to put something back on the blech, can you put, or something, let's say you have a case that you're allowed to put something on the blech that was not on the blech before Shabbos. What parts of the blech can you put it on? That's one discussion. And then there's another discussion. Let's say I have a cholent on the blech and it's not fully cooked yet, and I want to take some cholent out of it Friday night. What scenario can I do it? What can I not do it? So we're going to get to that, but that's more what that discussion has to do with. So yes, you are correct that there's different areas on the blech. Hopefully we'll get to that a little bit further down the road, but we're not up to there yet. We first have to get to what can we even leave on the blech and what not. Okay, so with that hakdama, there's a hakdama over here brought down in Mishnah Berurah that now we'll be able to understand, but it's a very important foundation for this, for a big part of this siman. So before we start with the Mechaber, let's read this Mishnah Berurah. Hinei, mipnei she'hasiman hazeh rabbi pairosav, because this siman has a lot of different faces to it, a lot of different sides to it. Chidei shelo yibalbel einei hakoyrabai, so we shouldn't get confused. Amarti, I said, lahatik misefer machzis hashecho. Let me bring down over here something printed in the sefer machzis hashecho. Psicha katana leha, a small introduction. Me ikri adinam shalot, that has to do with the main halachas. Kedei sheyaretz hakoyrabai. So now, once we read this, you'll have a much easier time understanding this siman. That you should know. Sheyesh inyan shia, the inyan chazara, there's a concept of leaving something on the fire. Okay, so now we're not talking about a blech. Now we're talking about leaving something on the fire directly. Okay, there's an inyan of shia, of leaving something on the fire, the inyan chazara, and there's an inyan of returning something that was on the fire that you took off. And he explains shia, what's shia? Mikre shenoisin tafshin le'erev Shabbos agave kira. I put something on the fire on Erev Shabbos, loy derech hatman, it's not just wrapped up in something that keeps it hot. Umanicha oimed al gabei kira, I leave it on kira. Now, what's a kira? Kira was the stove of those times. So, kira was, and the Mechaber is going to explain it, but basically, think about this cement oven with probably two holes or one hole on top where you put the pot on. Okay. Ubishabbos, noit to my kira. So, come Shabbos, I want to eat, I take it off the fire. That's Shia, okay? V'chazara, what does it mean to return? Mikrik, shenicha mi'erev Shabbos agave kira. I left it on the fire from Erev Shabbos. U'b'Shabbos, night on my kira. Shabbos, I took it off. V'roitzel achzir ha'sheinus, and now I want to return it. So like I said, Friday night, I want to take challent. I took my challent off the fire again. Just remember, we're talking about an open fire over here. Agave kira. Zi'i ikad dinei chazara l'kula alma, okay? That is the main point of Shia and Chazara. Aval yesh oiv inin Chazara. There's another concept of Chazara, which we're going to have to get to. Shenoit l'me'erev Shabbos samach l'chashecha u'machzira. K'mevayir b'sif peiz b'go. I took it off right before the beginning of Shabbos, and now I want to put it back on. That's a separate part of the discussion. When can you do that? When can you not do that? Okay. U'pligi Chananya v'Rabbanan. There's a machloikis between Chananya and Rabbanan. Rabban, the Chananya Svira law, Chananya holds, if the food that you want, if I have my chont and it's cooked, k'maychol ben drisoy. What's maychol ben drisoy? Is who k'chatzi bishul v'yasham k'shlish bishul. It's machloik. Is it's either a third way cooked or half cooked? Most of the paiskim sol that say that. What does that mean? A third and a half is the amount of time that it takes to cook it, that it's full edible. Right? We'll see. There's different stages in the cooking. It's so let's say it normally would take an hour to become edible. A half would be a half hour. A third would be a third of an hour. That's how much time. So Chananya holds, you have a pot of challant that was cooked to Michael Bandrisoi. You're allowed to take it and leave it directly on the fire. So in our case, I'll be allowed to put it on my stove, no blech, according to Chananya, and leave it on the fire. It's not grufa, it's not ketuma. Ketuma means covered, he explains that. So even though it says Chananya, even if it's less than Michael ben Desai, no, I can't do that. But it's Michael ben Desai, I'm not concerned, and you can leave it directly on the fire. The Chacham Svirlu, the Asim ain't a grufa ketuma. It's not in such a case that it's cooked only halfway, I can't leave it directly on the fire. The only case I'll be able to leave it directly on top of the coals, or in our case, the fire, if it's cooked completely, and if I would, any additional cooking, if I would stoke the flames, it would end up ruining the food. It would make the food worse. So it's cooked, not only stam cooked that it's edible, but it's cooked to the point that if I cook it more, or if I try to accelerate the cooking, it's going to make the food worse. So say so. So major machlokes between Chananya and the Rabbanan. Okay, Chananya says if it's as long as it's cooked halfway, you can leave it directly on an open fire, directly on the coals, and it doesn't. We're not concerned of shemi yichata. Even though in that case, if I want to eat it faster, likely I would try to raise the fire up. He says no problem. You can do that. The Chachamim say no. In that case, not only in that case, it has to be not only completely cooked. It has to be cooked to the point that speeding up the cooking at all or making the heat any hotter will make your food worse, not better. Okay? Now, unless it's grufa v'katan, which means either I remove the coals or I cover the fire, then the Chachamim agree that you're able to leave it there. Okay? Now, uberesh perikirat na. Now, so we have the basis for the machlokes. Now, in the beginning of Perikira, we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says as follows: Kira shes kiyo begefen veitz, and I have this oven that I heated up with either wood or gefes, right? That's the branches from olives or the stuff that comes out of olives. They would be a very good heating agent. Okay. Those things turn into coals, okay? Loyiteng. So what does it say over there? I lost the place. Okay. Loyitach. If it says over there, simple, if I have a stove that was heated up with wood, meaning there's coals there now, I cannot leave a pot on it. La yitain is the words that the Mishnah uses, unless it's garif akata, meaning I remove the coals. Okay, we're going to go a few minutes over time. I'm going to remove the coals and or I covered up the fire with sand. Now the Gemara doesn't understand this Tana. Hi, lo yitin. Now, when it said lo yitin, right to loyma, lo yasha filo elim ken garif akatam, that you're not even allowed to leave something on the fire, but asir karabanan the chanani, and that's going according to Rabbanan. Since it's not nispashal to such a degree that it's going to start getting worse if it cooks more, you can't even leave it on. Okay? That would be according to Rabbanan. Oi, or does the Tana mean to say, lo yitin, right to loyma, lo yachzer, that you're allowed to leave it on before Shabbos, even if it's not garif akatam, even if it's not cooked completely. You know what it means, lo yitin? Lo yitin means lo yachzer. If you took it off on Shabbos, don't return it. I will shiyum materis, I feel any garf katam, but to leave it on, it's even you're allowed to, even if the fire is not covered, v'asya kechananya. And the Gemara doesn't answer this question. So what do we do? Ufpaski harifa rambam, ufpaski harifa rambam, va'im de the rif, the rambam, many others, lasha snanu karabon chananya, that it's going, this is going to chachamim, that if it's not in a special called tzarchai, you can't leave it on an open fire unless the fire is covered. That fill a lashes being in al gabe grufa ketuma. You need grufa uketuma. But Tosfos pasku, Tosfos argues. He says lahachzer tanan. He holds like Hananya. Abel lashes muta fill al ene grufa that to leave it even mishnis pasuk kamachamander say that even if it's only cooked halfway you can uke Hananya. So these are the two shittas, mikatz al katzah. Vehein ashtei deis ha-shehuvi b'shulchan aruch b'simen zeh. These are the two shittas that are going to be brought down in the shulchan aruch in this simen. Dei achet hui das harif ha-ramam. One shittah is the rif and the ramam. Vayeh shayimrim shamevi mechaber b'sayf sif aleph. The shayimrim that mechaber, we'll see that it's born in sayf sif aleph. Hu das rashi v'taisus ha-nal. Ziyam asher ba'ani b'ketzara. This is what we explained in briefly. U'ma'at enavi levaris divrei shulchan aruch beis Hashem. And now we're going to be able to go into the understand the mechaber based on this introduction. So hopefully that will be helpful for everybody to be able to understand the simon. Everybody should have an easy and meaningful fast. Everybody should have a gemach simetayva. We should have a good gebench yar, and we should be able to have discuss to continue to be able to learn. And the schus of the Torah should give us all, for us and our entire families, entire Klal Yisrael, an amazing and wonderful year.